and Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to be talking about the Constitution. And, of course, the Constitution is the key to understanding everything going on today. Why should we not be concerned about the climate change? Because that's not a function of the federal government. In fact, the whole thing is a lie. The EPA is actively suppressing a report, a 98-page report prepared by one of their employees that says we're in a phase of global cooling. And, of course, everything points that we've had much higher levels of CO2 in past centuries, that CO2 is so important. It's a wonderful gas, 98-page report. And you can track it down up on the Internet. This is the suppressed EPA report they're talking about now. But, of course, you're not going to read about that in the newspapers or hear about it on CBS or ABC or NBC because they're all controlled by the same people, people who want to destroy the infrastructure of our country, our manufacturing, drive the cost of electricity up, lower the living standards of the American people. And this is the small little clique that controls our government. We call them the Trilateral Commission. They're simply the apex of the Brotherhood of Darkness. But this morning we're going to be talking about the Constitution because, of course, most of what's going on today is unconstitutional. We have subversive elements in our society who hate the Constitution. Although they've sworn to uphold it, they don't believe in it. They want to destroy it because they want to enslave our people. With that as a background, David Whitney, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience. I'm talking about one of the most important parts of our Constitution. We began this last month, but we did not walk all the way through Article 1, Section 8. There's 18 things, and only 18 things, that our Constitution empowers the federal government to do.
And you tell us what they are.
And if it's not on that list of 18 things, Dr. Stan, it is illegal for the government to do any taxing and spending for any of the other subjects that it may want to be involved with. It can only do these 18 things and nothing else. And the list is very limited when you look at it in Article 1, Section 8. Last time we talked about item number 1, which was to tax and spend for only three purposes, payment of debts, common defense, and general welfare. And we highlighted that general welfare means everyone must benefit, not one specific socioeconomic group, not one specific age group, not one specific geographical area, that everyone in the entire country must benefit. In other words, there's almost nothing that the federal government can do in terms of taxing and spending that will actually benefit everyone. And so that's a very limited part of number one. Number two was to borrow money. Again, a dangerous power to grant to any government, but we granted it through our Constitution. Number three was to regulate commerce that is with foreign nations, commerce with Indian tribes, which are also foreign nations in a clear sense, and then among the several states, that is interstate, that is commerce that happens between one state and another, and not to regulate intra, that is commerce within the state itself, which we talked about all the Supreme Court opinions that have changed how our government operates so that they have given them permission, themselves permission basically to violate this provision of our Constitution that limits them to a very, very small role in regulating commerce. The fourth thing on the list of 18 is to make rules for naturalization, that is how someone becomes a citizen of these United States, and also rules for bankruptcy, how that is handled in the courts. And then the fifth power was the power to coin money, to regulate the value, fix weights and measures, and notice it says to coin money, not to print money. There's a huge difference, and our founders were just coming out of a horrendous experience under the Articles of Confederation where paper money, fiat currency, that is backed by nothing, was being printed. They were called continentals, and that became a byword, worthless as a continental, because the more the government printed money, paper money without anything behind it, the more it became devalued until it came to a point where nobody would accept these pieces of paper for anything at all. They were worthless, and they said, we're not going to permit that fiat currency, printing money out of thin air. No, only gold and silver. Therefore, it was only permissible for them to coin money, and also to fix weights and measures, like how long is a yard and how much is a ton, those sort of things, to establish standards such that business could be transacted with fixed standards. Now, the sixth element of their power is to punish counterfeiting, that is, those who make money something other than gold and silver, which, here's the irony of ironies, we now have the federal government being the only significant counterfeiter in our country, well, you could almost say in the world, by printing money backed by nothing, not backed by gold and silver, which our Constitution here defines as counterfeiting, circulating something as if it were money when it is not money at all. And that's what all Federal Reserve notes are today. They are not backed by anything of any worth whatsoever, not even a promise to repay a debt in real money. So they are supposed to be punishing counterfeiters. Instead, they are the world's biggest counterfeiter of all. What an irony. The seventh power that our Article 1, Section 8 grants to our Congress is to establish post offices and post roads. And in that day, of course, transportation was difficult. Most of it happened by water. And they recognized that for a postal system to be effective, they would need roads to accomplish that. The eighth power is to establish rules for copyright and patents, recognizing that property and the protection of property is one of the prime jobs the civil government has, and that property is not just physical, it can be intellectual property.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney right here at the American Freedom Network.
Good news, revival, revival, revival at the Rogers Hall, Lyons, Colorado, Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th of July at 7:30 p.m. Here, evangelist Samuel Santos, who died twice, has been in three airplane accidents, and 19 years ago, fell on the ice and lost his memory totally. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. He will be praying for the sick and the needy. For more information, call 303-883-5674. That's 303-883-5674. Everybody is welcome. Once again, that's a revival at the Rogers Hall, Lyons, Colorado, Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th of July at 7:30 p.m.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Pastor David Mathey, and we're certainly talking about Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, the most important part of the Constitution, because it delineates what government can do. And any power that is not specifically, or authority not specifically mentioned here, is limited to the states and the people. And so matters dealing with life and liberty and property were state issues. They were not issues of the federal government. The federal government was never able to go after an individual under any circumstances, because, of course, they knew when the federal government could begin to target individuals, as they do today. And, of course, this was the road to tyranny. This is how you destroy your opposition. So pick up the story there, David.
Well, as we continue through the list of 18 things our federal government is permitted to do, number 8 was establish copyright and patents. Number 9 was to establish federal courts below the Supreme Court. You see, the Constitution only requires the Supreme Court on the federal level. Congress could decide, we're not going to have any other federal courts, or we're going to have these. They could restructure it any way they choose, because they are in charge of all the federal courts below the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's the only one required. They're in charge of the rest. Very interesting scenario. We see time and again congressmen wringing their hands, we can't do anything at all, the federal courts have ruled, and da-da-da. Wait a minute. They're lying, unless they don't know the Constitution, which there's probably a high probability of that among most congressmen and senators. They do not know the Constitution. But the Constitution gives them complete power over those lower federal courts to completely abolish them, to change the structure of them, to either cut them in half or cut their salaries. They could punish any federal court that was violating the law, short of actually impeaching those judges. There's other ways, and this gives them that power, to rein in an out-of-control federal judiciary. So the curious thing is to see we have a federal judiciary below the Supreme Court that is way beyond any level of control and way beyond its constitutional limits. And yet the Congress continues to claim that they can do nothing about it. Well, that is a lie. Right here, they have complete power over those lower federal courts. And so that's number 9 in our list of 18. Number 10 is Congress has the power to define and punish piracy and felonies on the high seas in violation of the laws of nations. Obviously, an individual state couldn't determine what was going to happen in its area of the ocean. The ocean is an area that's beyond what any individual state has any say in. And so it's appropriate that the federal government would be the one to define and punish piracy. Number 11 is to declare war. Only Congress can declare war, constitutionally speaking. The last time Congress actually declared war was World War II, which means every war since World War II conducted by our country is unconstitutional. In other words, is illegal. An astonishing thing, because when most people think about the wars that we've engaged in, they might have some questions about them, but rarely do they ever ask the question, was that war legal? They think, if we went to war, let's back our troops. Well, I agree, we should support soldiers in uniform, but those soldiers in uniform should not be made to do unconstitutional things, for example, fighting an unconstitutional war. But those who want to destroy our form of government have used the power of the military unconstitutionally to do such things. Number 12 is to raise and support armies. And that is, an army was always to be brought up when a constitutional need demanded it. That is, there was no standing army ever envisioned by our founders. They would had a two-year limitation on funding for the army. That is, Congress had to stand for re-election during those 2 years, which means Congress had to face the referendum, so to speak, of the people. that the people would voice their approval or disapproval of the war that was being conducted, and they could be voted out of office if the people thought this war is a waste, we should not be involved in it. And then 13 is to provide and maintain a Navy. Navy is a more permanent force because you just can't build up the naval forces overnight. Especially in those days, building a ship took many years and so on. So they recognized that although there could be and should be no standing army, the states were maintaining their militias that were called up to federal service when a crisis, an invasion or so forth, took place. Well, the Navy needed to be maintained on a more permanent basis. And the 14th relates to the military as well. Number 14 is that Congress established the rules of discipline for the military forces. It's called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. That when state militias are called up to federal service, it's then that the Uniform Code of Military Justice is applied to them by the Congress, and Congress is the one that maintains and establishes those rules of discipline. Number 15 is to provide for calling militia into federal service, and there's only three reasons constitutionally why the militia can be called up to federal service, and that is to execute federal laws, to suppress insurrections, or to repel invasions. Not to engage in empire building, or like the politicians today want to say, oh, we're just helping other nations become democracies. We're making the world safe for democracy. That is nowhere envisioned in these provisions, Article 1, Section 8, about what our military is to do. If we are invaded by an outside force from an outside government, then we're to repel that invasion by calling up the militia. If there is an insurrection taking place and the state militia where the insurrection is happening is unable to deal with it, then and only then is the... And by the way, that's a very dangerous power, even with the limits placed on it here, a very dangerous power to say that insurrections are to be dealt with by the militia being called up to federal service. But just those three reasons.
I really think the most significant thing is our founding fathers realized the danger of a standing army, and that if you had a standing army, the politicians or someone would misuse that. And you're absolutely right. They do not want the American people to know that the little clique that runs our government wants an empire. Now, they don't understand that this empire is a prelude to this world government. This is what motivates them. This is their very reason for being, the intense hatred of national sovereignty, the belief that a small group of elitists can rule the world. So they're using America, and they're using our financial and our military power. People must understand that. That's why we have troops stationed in 131 nations throughout the world. That's why we have our troops still stationed in Germany, 65 years after the Second World War ended, in Japan, 65 years after the Second World War ended, and certainly in South Korea, 55 years or something like after the Korean War ended. It is because of this desire for empire. But they can't let the American people know. They've got to think that, oh, we're defending ourselves from the wicked communists, or if not the communists, then the Taliban or Osama bin Laden. They're always going to make up an enemy. But this is really about the fact we have a ruling elite that has a different agenda that they've concealed from the American people, and of course because they control the media. The average individual doesn't understand. They think we're fighting somehow for freedom, or oh, we wanted to get rid of the wicked Saddam Hussein we financed for so many years, and they're obviously they're doing everything they can to prepare us for another war in the Middle East. We've got to get the American people to understand. But you go ahead, David.
And that's where the sad thing is, that everybody that serves in the military takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. And I've asked numerous individuals when they went through boot camp or officers training, did you study the Constitution? Did they prepare you before you took your oath to understand what your oath involved? And invariably, and there may be some significant exception somewhere, but the people I've talked to have all said no. We were just told, here's the oath, go ahead, take the oath, with the expectation that somehow they had on their own studied the Constitution, because certainly in government-run schools they would never have been taught the Constitution as the founders clearly spelled it out. They would have been taught, if anything at all, they would have been taught all the permissions to violate the Constitution that the courts have so egregiously engaged in for more than 100 years now. And so only three reasons that the militia can be called up to federal service. Otherwise, the militia is in the control of the state, the governor of each state being the head of that militia, and the militia is to train and prepare and so on, but is only called into service when there is a clear and desperate need. And the three things: execute federal law, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, the only reason that the militia can be called up. Now, the 16th power granted to the federal government here in Article 1, Section 8 is to organize, arm, and discipline militias. Congress controls the militia, again, as I said, only when they're federalized, only when they're called up to federal service. Otherwise, the states reserve the right to appoint the officers of the militia, subject to the discipline of Congress set up under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But the whole structure is supposed to be such that the states are in control of the militia. And the states can use their militia for their own to meet some of their own crises. I remember in Montana, this was a couple of years back, there was terrible forest fires all over. And the governor appealed to the president and said, hey, send some of our troops back here to Montana, that is our Montana militia. Send them back here so we can deal with the fire, help them, and the president refused. No, we're not. Your troops are good cannon fodder over here in the Middle East, and that's where they're going to stay. Who cares about your problem back there in the state of Montana? Well, without a declared war, without those troops legally being federalized, what the president did is criminal. He broke the law. He violated the supreme law of the land, our Constitution. And the state of Montana was harmed because it had turned its militia over to the federal government, believing that what the federal government was doing was legitimate. Sad to say, I guess the governor of Montana doesn't understand the Constitution, or he does understand the Constitution and he wasn't willing to take the tough stand and say, fine, if you're going to do that with our militia, we're not giving you any more troops from the state of Montana until you start abiding by the Constitution. We haven't seen any state do that yet, but I pray for the day when governors will do that and not allow any of the boys in their state militia to be federalized illegally, as is taking place right now. And the 17th power, moving away from the military structure, which powers granted there, the 17th is to control the District of Columbia and all other federal property. And it's very interesting to see, when you look at Article 1, Section 8, it's a very limited list of federal property that can be owned by our federal government. The 10 miles of Washington, D.C., obviously, territories, that is, parts of our country that have not become states yet. The example now would be Puerto Rico is a territory, Virgin Islands, and so on. There's a number of territories that are not states, and so Congress has power to control them. And the only other thing on the list there in Article 1, Section 8 is forts, magazines, necessary military installations that they purchase from the state in which that military installation is. You look closely at that list and look at the ownership of property of our federal government, and you see egregious violations of this. All national parks, all national monuments, and all national forests, and the list goes on. Bureau of Land Management, especially out there in the West, like the state of Nevada, I think 90% of it's owned by the federal government, without any justification constitutionally for its ownership of that vast tract of Nevada. I think Alaska's even worse, where 95% or more of Alaska is owned by the federal government, and it's owned illegally and is controlled illegally. There's no power granted here in Article 1, Section 8 for national forests, national parks, any of that. And if the states were willing to reassert their right and their constitutional power, they could take those parks back and say, hey, Yosemite does not belong to federal government. It is the state of California that owns and controls Yosemite, and so forth and so on. And I know particularly out west, the issue of grazing and timbering rights and mineral rights and on the list goes, where the federal government says, you people in this state cannot use this property in the way you choose because we own and control it. And they don't. Legally, they don't. But it's going to take some tough state governors and strong state militias to reinforce that and kick the federal government out of its illegal holdings in every federal park and all these other lands that the federal government controls illegally. So that's number 17. Very limited area of control over property in the state. Number 18, and this is a dangerous one that has been misinterpreted. This is the final statement in this list at Article 1, Section 8, that the Congress may do what may be necessary and proper to carry out the foregoing powers and the other powers granted to Congress.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney right here at the American Freedom Network. You must understand the Constitution.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facility. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest, Pastor David Whitney. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute on the Constitution, what they will learn if they go there, how they can take the course that you offer on the Internet, and then, of course, the telephone numbers, webpage, all of those things.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we have put together a course that can help every citizen learn and have a working knowledge of our founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And they could take this course online. We now offer that online if they go to our website, iotconline.com. That website, again, for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. Right there at the top of the page, click the online course, and if you have have broadband access to be able to watch the videos and take the tests and walk through the 12 sessions with constitutional law professor John Eidsmo. We encourage people to do this individually, and then to gather a group of people together, purchase a host kit, which is also available if they go to the website there at iotconline.com. That host kit gives you the DVDs of the 12 lectures of constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, and two lectures by David Barton, a student manual that contains a very detailed outline of each lecture, as well as test questions related to each of those lectures, and many other supplemental materials that help you understand the essentials that you need to know to have a working knowledge of these documents. And the host kit is really a turnkey way in which anybody with any group of people can communicate these truths. You don't need a background in law. It's helpful that you don't have a background in law, because the law schools today lie about what our form of government is and what our Constitution truly says. And in addition to that, you don't need a history background. Any citizen, it was written for the average citizen, any citizen can do this. Get a host kit, gather a group of people together in your living room, or we encourage people to do this in their churches. But talking to a number of people this week that are working on doing that in their churches. One fellow was just about concluding a class that was a Sunday school class conducted Sunday mornings to educate the members of his church as to what it means to be a Christian citizen, to have a biblical view of law and government and an understanding of these essential documents. And so people can go to our website to order those materials, iotconline.com, or if they'd like to call us here on the East Coast, Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and that call is toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. That's 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. We're encouraged as people across this country are gaining an understanding, spreading the word to their neighbors and friends and family, and beginning that grassroots move that needs to happen to take our country back. Tomorrow I'm going to participate in a tea party here in Bel Air, Maryland, and the last tea party I participated in, there was many people who had all kinds of ideas about how to solve the problems of our country, but most of them were unconstitutional ideas, like a fair tax, they want to call it. And all these ideas really are the motivation and heart of the people is great to see this fire to do and make a change. But if they do it without knowing what our supreme law actually says, they may do more harm than good in the end, especially those calling for a constitutional convention, as I know a number of people actively involved in the Tea Party movement are doing. So they may, if they don't understand what it is that our supreme law of the land says, they may do more harm than good. And I hope and pray that as we meet with people tomorrow and around the country, that people celebrate the 4th, they'll recognize we need to learn what it is the founders meant by the words they penned on those so important documents.
And let's once again give out the website and the telephone number.
Our toll-free phone number for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And the website for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. That's one word, iotconline.com.
And it stands for Institute on the Constitution. OTConline.com. Okay, David, pick up the story there.
Well, the 18th power that's granted in the list of 18 things there in Article 1, Section 8, that 18th power has often been called the elastic clause, because it says Congress may do what's necessary and proper to carry out the foregoing powers and other powers granted. And the idea is, well, this clause just kind of gives them a blank check. It allows them to expand federal power any which way they want. But that's not the meaning of that phrase. It says that they have the power to do what's necessary and what's proper to carry out the foregoing powers. In other words, the previous 17 things listed there are the limitation. They can only do that which those on the list permit them to do. And you look at the list, there's no permission there to tax and spend for education. The entire Federal Department of Education is unconstitutional. Every penny spent by that department is a form of theft, stealing from the American people that which Congress has no right, no power, no constitutional warrant to do, and then distributing it in a way they have no right or constitutional power to do as well. And so it is limited to that which is necessary, and the word necessary means that which is absolutely required to fulfill the to carry out these delegated powers. Well, that was the clear understanding of our founders and stated to be that. But the Supreme Court early on got into the act of changing the meaning of these words. This is a case in 1819, McCullough v. Maryland. And in this case, the Supreme Court said, well, necessary means reasonably suited or not absolutely indispensable. Wait a minute. That's not what necessary meant when the founders drafted and ratified our Constitution. In essence, the Supreme Court said these words don't mean what the founders said they mean. They mean what we, the Supreme Court, say they mean. Oh, here the Supreme Court very early on, all the way back in 1819, began to alter our form of government unconstitutionally and illegally.
And I think it's so important that people understand that the people who signed the Constitution said, well, just so there won't be any question at all what we mean, we're going to put in a Bill of Rights, and in the Ninth and specifically the Tenth Amendment, we're going to say if powers are not specifically given to Congress, or reserved to it by the states, then those powers are to be maintained by the states and the people so that the government can't expand its power. There was this fear of government, the realization that men were corrupt and could not be trusted with power. That was the very essence of our Constitution. For the first time in all history, we had a document that limited the power of the central authority over the lives of the people so they could be free.
And instead, what's happened is they've turned that around and taken the shackles off of the federal government and allowed it to be unlimited, and the result is our freedoms have been stolen by and large. And so necessary was a term that McCullough v. Maryland Supreme Court case kind of redefined. The other term, proper. And by proper, McCullough v. Maryland redefined it as, well, it means it's not forbidden by other provisions of the Constitution. In other words, basically saying if it's not forbidden to the Congress, then the Congress can do it. Well, that's the opposite of what the Ninth, as you mentioned, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment clearly state. Unless it's clearly a power granted to them, then they cannot do it. It is illegal.
Well, we're going to be back in a moment with Pastor David Whitney. And if you do have a question you'd like to call in, the telephone number is 970-689-82.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. iMoneyCoach.com's financial experts understand the forces that have brought our economy to where it is today and the difficult times ahead. For under $200, the online financial courses of iMoneyCoach.com will give you the power, insight, and tools you need to successfully navigate the coming financial storm. Gain thousands of dollars of training materials and videos in this 10-course program for under $200. Check out iMoneyCoach.com. That's iMoneyCoach.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Electric Shop wants to remind everyone that when you take to the road, remember to take along those three C's of safety. That's caution, courtesy, and above all, a little common sense. Safe and sober driving is everyone's responsibility. This message is courtesy of Electric Shop in Fort Collins. Electric Shop is a proud sponsor of KHNC's Community Awareness Program.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Here, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, for the final segment of this morning's program, before the 4th of July. And people have to understand, tomorrow we celebrate American Independence Day. And really, it's so vitally important because it is marked by the signing of the Declaration of Independence, an amazing document which is the foundation of our freedom. And that very belief that freedom comes from God, not from government, that government does not have the right to suspend our freedom or limit our freedom or control our environment or control our atmosphere or control the water. It doesn't have those rights. Our freedom comes from God, and the government that can control our health, our education, our welfare, of course, is abridging the restrictions that were placed on it. Those affairs are between the individual and God, not between the individual and government. But they're those who would replace God with government. Go ahead, Pastor Whitney.
Well, when we look at that phrase, necessary and proper, and we understand that McCulloch v. Maryland in 1819 basically redefined those terms, meaning proper meaning, well, what's not forbidden by the Constitution, that opened the door to a floodgate of changes in our form of government. And we were talking about one earlier, the whole idea of national parks. Well, the justification, and Theodore Roosevelt was the one that really got this rolling, justification was, well, the Constitution says nowhere is it forbidden that the federal government own land that are called national parks. It's not forbidden anywhere, so we can do it. We can do whatever the Constitution does not forbid, which is a false interpretation of the Constitution. As you've already mentioned, Dr. Stan, the Ninth Amendment clearly states that that is the case. Only those powers specifically granted by this document, by our Constitution, to the federal government are the powers that it has. It has nothing outside of that very limited, restricted role that we, the people, through our Constitution, have granted it powers to be engaged in. And so that's Article 1, Section 8. I encourage everyone to read it, to think it through, to have a handle, a working handle on it, because it's very easy, therefore, if you have an Article 1, Section 8 in your mind, to be able to evaluate any piece of federal legislation to determine if it's constitutional or not constitutional. You look at the list. Can the federal government do anything about health care? Well, Article 1, Section 8, it's not on the list. They have no power to do anything at all about anybody's health care whatsoever. And on the list goes of, as I think the Heritage Foundation estimate, that over 90% of everything done in Washington, D.C. by the federal government is a violation of this. In other words, a violation of the supreme law of the land of our Constitution, and therefore is nothing short of criminal. That the D.C., I guess these days, stands for District of Criminals because they're so freely violating our Constitution. Well, when we move to Section 9 of Article 1, it gives us limitations upon congressional authority, a list of things that they cannot do. They cannot forbid the slave trade before 1808. The idea here was that 20 years would be plenty of time in which the slavery would become so economically unfeasible and untenable that it would end of its own weight, that there would be no reason to hold a war to end slavery, which, by the way, Abraham Lincoln said he did not go to war to end slavery. Just read the first inaugural address. But our founders believed that slavery would die of its own economic inefficiency. Well, a relative of mine by the name of Eli Whitney invented a little machine, the cotton gin, which changed all of that. All of a sudden, cotton became king once again and was very economically profitable, and the institution of slavery was reinvigorated, something our founders could not have foreseen. But they said Congress, they wanted to let it die its own natural death. Congress could not forbid slave trade before 1808. Second thing that could not happen is that Congress could not suspend habeas corpus, which, by the way, is the ancient English right that a citizen has to demand, if the government arrests you and puts you in prison, that they list a charge, at least one or even several charges against you, to say, we claim that you have violated this piece of legislation and this piece of law, and that you are in violation of the law. They have to issue a statement as to why it is they arrested you and why they are holding you in prison. Habeas corpus basically says, produce the body. That is, if there's a claim that you murdered somebody, the government has to move through a process of charging you with violating the law, and then a process that's going to lead to a speedy trial. Now, so habeas corpus is an ancient English common law right that is ensconced here in our Constitution, that it is protected, and the only way it can be suspended is in times of emergency, and it can only be suspended by Congress. Nobody else, no other branch of government can suspend habeas corpus. Why? Because it needed to be the representatives of the people, those closest to the people, that would dare take this very drastic action of suspending habeas corpus. Well, our 43rd president suspended habeas corpus, and the Military Commissions Act claimed that he could declare anybody outside the law, you're an outlaw, and therefore you don't have the right of habeas corpus any longer. He did it illegally. There was no hue and cry, as there should have been, to say, wait a minute, the executive can't do that. That's a violation of the Constitution. Only Congress can do that. Article 1, Section 9. We heard nothing of it. Not one pipsqueak from most congressmen, with few minor exceptions. And there should have been such a hue and cry that it should have led to the impeachment of the 43rd president, because he was violating a very basic fundamental right that was given to us by God. And the whole purpose of civil government is to protect and defend our God-given rights, and they're doing the exact opposite of it, against the specific law stated here in Article 1, Section 9.
Because that's why they took God out of our schools,
maybe,
and prayer out of our schools, and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because these people hate God, and they want a fascist dictatorship, and they work through the Brotherhood of Darkness. These people know what they're doing. They just don't want us common people to know.
And we, the people, should be extremely upset. We should be crying out in the streets that how dare the government give itself permission to arrest people, throw them in prison, not giving them any charge, not even giving them any promise that there will be ever a trial, and that suspending habeas corpus means that they cannot appeal and say, wait a minute, the government must either give a legitimate reason for holding me in prison, or the government must let me go. So suspending habeas corpus is an extremely dangerous activity, and should give us all a clue as to what our federal government is really up to. It's up to the opposite of what it's commissioned to do, to defend our God-given rights. Well, number three under the limitations on congressional authority in Article 1, Section 9, is that it cannot pass a bill of attainder. That is, the legislature cannot act like a court system and find guilt and by a bill of attainder.
Well, we'll have to continue this next month, David. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for being with us. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful 4th of July.
Got a home project in mind but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland, 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate the support of this station. 970-669-3866.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Dan, and tomorrow, 4th of July. I do hope that you'll just sit down and read the Declaration and understand that the problem that they faced in 1776 was nowhere near what we face today. The British government was nowhere near as tyrannical as the government we have today. But, of course, many of the same spiritual forces were at work then that are at work now. Because there are powerful spiritual forces behind this move to create a fascist society in America. And they work through the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, shame on you. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or hear the talk. It's available for nothing on the Internet. Site at RadioLiberty.com. You need to hear our talk on the forbidden secret, taking you into the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And, of course, is known to those people who are involved in the mystical elements of what's going on today. And, of course, you really need to either get the DVD and get the syllabus. And then you need to get our talk on the financial Armageddon, because the financial crisis is all contrived intentionally, purposely, and maliciously, because they want to lower our living standards and impoverish our people. Once you understand that, you can understand the cap-and-trade bill, which is going to destroy the manufacturing base of this country. Of course, companies here can actually get around it simply by buying pollution credits, carbon credits. It's a massive transfer of the wealth of this country to foreign countries. Once you understand that, it all makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And, of course, climate change is not a problem. I mean, it's always here. Sometimes years are hotter than others. Right now, we're in a cooling phase, but they can't let the American people know the truth. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Go and watch our DVDs. Read our letters. Listen to our programs. Read the various items and essays we have posted there. And encourage other people to listen to our programs and get educated about what's going on. We're involved in a spiritual war being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural and financial battlefield. We have to understand the spiritual forces that are at work, and then, of course, we do hope that many of you will take tomorrow and reread the Declaration of Independence. You should read it through on a regular basis and understand the significance of what those words say. For when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one nation to separate itself from another, then it becomes our obligation to explain what's going on. And then, of course, it goes on to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in order to secure those liberties, why are those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their power from the consent of the governed. And what rights are they talking about? Are God-given rights. That is why the Masons, who are on the Supreme Court, who controlled our Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971, took God and prayer out of our schools. Because Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions, even though most Masons don't know it. You need to understand the powerful occult forces that have been here since the inception of civilization and are bent upon destroying Christian civilization today. So until tomorrow at the same time, our guest Monday now, may the Lord be with you.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their personal